I don't know if you've been at a dry place in your life. Anyone been at a dry place in your life before? Spiritually or even like physically? Anyone been in a desert at all? I don't know if you've physically been in a desert, but I was in a desert this holiday, okay? It's where I was born. I was born not quite in a desert, but I was born in a place that is generally dry, but this holiday it was very, very dry. I come from a place called Graaffreinet. Anyone know where Graaffreinet is? In the Karoo, it is very dry. But this year or last year was extremely dry, so much so that I haven't ever seen that farm as bad as I did see it at the end of 2019. And my parents and my brothers desperate for rain. They're starting to feed the animals, and you know you can only feed animals for so long, and then you have to start selling them. And there's other farmers that I think are much worse off than we were or we are. But it was desperate in the Karoo, and we prayed for rain, and I really had faith that God would provide. And then I think on about the, let's give the Lord a hand for providing. Amen. They hadn't had rain since February, and then he sent me that video of a stream just running through the farm where there's sluices and they've planted stuff, and they really were hoping and were praying for rain, and God provided. Amen. And this evening I want to talk about rivers of living water. Tell someone next to you, rivers of living water. Jesus said some amazing things, but one of the favorite scriptures is found here in John chapter 7 verse 38. And I'm going to read it from verse 37. Before I read John chapter 7 verse 37, I just want to share a little bit of a context. Jesus was facing opposition from the Pharisees. He was facing opposition from the chief priests and from a hostile crowd. Many of them wanted him arrested. And so when you read this, just think of Jesus speaking to his enemies. He's not speaking to people that are necessarily open to him or really excited about him. He's speaking primarily to his enemies here, but he's actually speaking to anyone who can hear his voice. And he says the following. John writes and says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, and he said the following: if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. And I want to talk about rivers of living waters this evening, and I'm going to continue next week with the same topic. But I want to trust that God, this year, gives us rivers of living water. I mean, who needs rivers of living water? I want it more than ever. I realized that at a time in my life, last year, the previous year, the last few years of my life, I've experienced like generally a drought in my life, to be honest. Spiritually, I've experienced some dry places. It doesn't mean all doom and gloom, but when I read the scripture, I just realized God wants to give us all living water this year. He wants to give us a fresh, just like that drought on the farm we had, and like when the rain came, that river just flowed. There's just such a blessing when water flows, when a river flows. And so I want to look at just a few things before we get to this rivers of living water. I want to look at a few conditions that John writes here about, or in fact, Jesus mentioned it. And he starts with the following, and he says, if anyone thirsts. Say after me, if anyone thirsts. Let's say it again. If anyone thirsts. It's a state of being. Jesus is saying there's an if here. You know, you have your if clauses in programming. There's an if, and then there's something that must happen. Either it must go this way or that way. But there's an if, and then there should be something after that. Jesus says if. It's a condition. It's a condition of our hearts. If anyone thirsts. Anyone here doesn't need more of Jesus? Anyone here feel they are so satisfied with Jesus, they are like they can't get like enough, or that they've almost got too much of him? You feel so full that you can't get more of him? Anyone? I don't think anyone is at that place, right? I believe everyone sitting here needs more of Jesus. And in fact, not only us, but this whole world needs more of Jesus. And I love the way he says anyone. If anyone, it refers to an open invitation. It refers to whosoever. Whosoever hears, whosoever will believe. And I believe that we're all thirsty for more. We're really thirsty for more. Sometimes we just don't know it, right? Sometimes we just don't realize it. Or else, in another way, we are so satisfied with the things of this world that we're not really needing anything else. Let's be honest, in most of our lives, sometimes we do get satisfied with success, we get satisfied with achievements, satisfied with the relationships we have in our life. It's satisfying, it's good. We get satisfied with even the gift that we have and with the blessings in our lives. We get satisfied with the blessings in our lives. Amen. And sometimes we don't even realize that we're actually needing the one who gives us those blessings. So how thirsty are you this evening? Because the things of this world and even our gifts and our talents don't satisfy us fully. Matthew 5 verse 6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will be full. There's a promise. You see, that which you thirst after will actually fill you, even if it's only temporary. If you seek after and thirst after stuff that the world offers, and I'm not only talking about bad stuff, I'm even talking about good stuff here. You will actually be filled by that, even though it's just temporary. So I want to challenge all of us, myself included, this year. Let us rather thirst after Jesus himself. And he promises here, and he says, the more you thirst after me, the more you thirst after my word and my presence and my spirit, the more you will be satisfied with exactly that. The more I will come and I will satisfy you. David writes in Psalm 63 verse 1, and he talks about waking up early in the morning. He says, oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and a thirsty land where there is no water. And I believe, friends, this evening we need to be honest with ourselves. That's why in this first point, I believe Jesus is saying, how honest are you? Because he's inviting this whole crowd, his enemies, his friends, whoever listens to his voice, he's saying, if anyone thirsts, how thirsty are you tonight for Jesus? How thirsty and hungry are you for him? And I believe at the beginning of this new year, I believe you must really be honest and say, sometimes I don't thirst for him. But I realize tonight he's saying, if I am thirsty, then we'll see what he says next. But it's important to ask yourself, am I really thirsty for Jesus? Am I honest with what is satisfying me and what is not satisfying me? John Piper says the following. He says, the most important thing to know about yourself is that you were made to live on God. You have a soul, a spirit. There is a you that is more than a body. Tell someone next to you, you're more than a body. There is more than to you than just your body, and that you, if it does not drink from the greatness and the wisdom and the power and the goodness and the justice and the holiness and the love of God, will die of thirst. He says, if anyone is thirsty, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me. And our theme for this year, by the way, is called Grow. Anyone saw the announcement earlier on? Maybe some of you don't know that yet, but I want to tell you now, we're excited about the word grow this year. Amen. Tell someone next to you, grow. And I'll say this a lot this year, because we're going to mention the word grow, we're going to unpack it on the camp, we're going to preach about it, we're going to trust that God grows all of us this year. Amen. Who wants to grow this year? We're a disciple-making church, amen. We're called to make disciples. We're called to see people grow into Christ likeness. And guess what that G stands for? The first letter in grow stands for gather. The G stands for gathering to Christ. God is calling us to gather to him, because guess what? In heaven one day there's going to be a massive gathering, amen. So I believe as a church and as people, we better get used to gathering, amen. And in the world we live in today, less and less people seem to be gathering together. People are watching church on TV. People are doing church in many different ways. But God is calling us to gather. What we're doing here today is amazing. Amen. Who agrees with me? This gathering, this coming together to worship Jesus, not to see Alistair's face because I'm going to disappoint you, okay? But to see Jesus' face. My wife's not disappointed in my face. So. But to gather to Christ, to gather to Jesus Christ Himself. And the R stands for relating to people, because God has called us to relate and to love and to serve people. And then the O is talking about obeying the Spirit, and the W is witnessing to the world. Gathering to Christ, relating to people, obeying the Spirit, witnessing to the world. That's what God has called us to do. But the gathering is important. It's important first to come to Jesus. Amen. So Jesus said, if you're really honest and if you're really needy, if you have a need, then I can satisfy that need. If you don't have a need for me, then I can't satisfy what you don't have. But if you do have a need for me, Jesus says, come. And He's not talking only to unbelievers. I believe this scripture is for us down the ages, all of us that even know Jesus and have even come to Him at a time in our lives. All of you guys have got a testimony, amen. You've come to Jesus sometime. Maybe some of you tonight will be the first time you come to Jesus. You really come to Him and surrender everything. But all of us have come to Jesus sometime. But guess what? We need to keep coming to Jesus. We need to keep on coming back to Him, because sometimes we do get dry, sometimes we do get thirsty, sometimes we do need living waters. So Jesus says, if you have a thirst, then come to me. In other words, He's saying, let everyone who has a thirst come to me. Don't let them hinder anyone. Don't let anyone be hindered to come to me. It's the greatest invitation ever. Amen. Come to Jesus. The greatest invitation that there's ever been. Jesus Himself saying, come. But He's saying, let nothing prevent that person who has a thirst to come to me. And I believe Jesus is saying to you tonight, just as He Himself spoke this, just as John himself wrote this, and that we can read this tonight, I am saying the words of Jesus, come to me, says Jesus. And maybe tonight you're thirsty, maybe you started this year and it's already feeling like, whoa, I'm a bit unsure about life. Last year was amazing, or last year was bad, however last year was for you, but maybe you're at a place where you really need to come back to Jesus tonight, or to come to Him. And I want to say tonight to everyone here, nothing needs to hinder you. Amen. Nothing in this world needs to hinder you tonight. I believe you're here tonight because Jesus is calling you. Jesus is saying, come. Don't only come to shofar. Don't only come to church tonight, but come to me. Just make that choice tonight. Make that choice because it's a thing of faith. You see, it takes faith to believe that God exists. As Hebrews 11:6 says, faith is believing that God is who He says He is, that He exists, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. Do you really want to seek Jesus tonight? And do you really want Him to bless you tonight? Do you believe that He can bless you? Do you believe that He has life for you tonight? God is good. Amen. God is able. God is willing. And He's faithful to fulfill every promise that He has for you. And He says, in Matthew chapter 11 verse 28, He says it again, come to me, all you labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Guys, I believe 2020 is a year of rest. Amen. And anyone felt that? I believe God is saying it's going to be a year of rest. It's going to be a year not of being passive and doing nothing. It's going to be a year of God's rest, and His rest is so big, we'll talk about it through this year. But I believe God wants us to rest in Him. 2019 for me and for many other people was a tough year. It felt like God was challenging us to grow. He was allowing stuff to happen that was like, yo God, I didn't see this coming. But He allowed us to grow. He allowed us to seek Him. And I loved what my wife said at the beginning of this year. She just said, you know what? I feel this year we must just trust in God. Just tap into God. Just like not get shaken by stuff. I believe God is calling us to respond to this invitation to come and give or and receive the rest that He has for each one of us. And I believe I'm preaching this word not only for you now, but I believe I want to say this word through 2020, because there's going to be times when you're going to be tired, right? Especially at the end of the year, right? Especially halfway through the year when you haven't had a holiday for 6 months and you're like, you're going to be tired. And I want to say, don't just go on a holiday. Come to Jesus. Go to Jesus. Get to Jesus. Do whatever you can. Like the woman with the flow of blood, she pushed everyone aside. She says, I want to touch the hem of His garment. I want to touch Jesus. And then Jesus goes on. He says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me. But then He says something else. He says, let him drink. You know, it doesn't help. I just hold this water and I'm so thirsty, and I hold this water and I look and I'm like close to this water and I'm like, yo, this water is amazing, and it's nice and cold. It's in a nice glass. It's like awesome. But I just hold it close to me. Hey, it's going to cool my face a bit. You know, it's going to cool my, oh, it's the sweat. It might just wipe some sweat off my brow. Jesus says, come and drink of this water. Amen. So after coming to Jesus, He wants us to give. He wants to give us something. But in order for Him to give that water to us, He needs you and I to receive it. And sometimes we even come to Jesus and then, you know what? We like struggle to receive. For some of us, it might just mean this year that you must do your quiet time, but definitely you must sit and say, Jesus, speak to me. Not write a lot of stuff down and read a lot of things and say a few prayers that you say every time. Just come to Him and say, Jesus, I just want to receive from You. Because I want to always, and I have to do it as a pastor. I want to always get a word for someone else. I always just want to, you know, bless someone else, Jesus. And Jesus is saying to me, just receive. Just come and be quiet. But have a heart to receive. Have a heart to drink. Have a desperation this year that you're so thirsty and you realize you're thirsty that you just want to drink because there's nothing else you can do. You may be at the end of yourself and you need to come to Jesus and just receive and just be obedient to what He says to you. Amen. Whatever your drinking is going to mean this year, but I believe it's obedience. Jesus is calling us to obey His voice, and He's going to give us wisdom and strategy and all these things. You see, John Piper also says the following: Jesus doesn't just have what our souls need. He is what our souls need. Amen. Jesus doesn't just have what we need. He is what we need. Jesus is the living water. And just like you drink with your mouth and your throat, I believe for us as spiritual people, we need to drink with our souls. We need to really receive and do an action of receiving that which Jesus says. In John chapter 4, Jesus speaks to the woman at the well and He says the following. He says, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. Talking about the natural water. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. The water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. I remember there was a time in my life, I had Jesus, I came to Him, I knew I was saved, I knew I was born again, I knew I was going to heaven, but I missed what He said to this woman. I missed this living water. So I walked with Jesus a while, and I think I was at a place where I couldn't quite receive what Jesus truly wanted to give me. And I was studying, I was finished my studies, and I heard about this church called Shofar. Weird church. Don't know if you've ever been there, if you've ever heard of Shofar. It was back in Stellenbosch, and I saw people in this church that were different. I knew Jesus, but these guys seemed to know a different side of Jesus. One guy in my res, he's now a pastor in Chofar, Durbanville, Ross is his name, Ross van Niekerk, and he always had the smile on his face, and he would invite me to the small group, and I was all fine. I'm in a traditional church. I'm happy there. Nothing wrong with the traditional church. I'm blessed by the foundations that were laid in my life through traditional churches that I went to. I'm not going to mention any names. There was a couple of them. But I just felt like I didn't have this that these guys had. I didn't have something. And I went to a friend of mine came to me, and he started saying to me, he says, have you heard about the baptism in the Holy Spirit? I was like, I've heard about it. He said, have you been baptized? No, I haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit. But I know Jesus. He says, no, there's a baptism in the Holy Spirit. There's an infilling. There's like a, and I said, well, who can, and he prayed for me. He said, no, I can, as long as you've been filled with the Spirit, you can pray for someone else. I can pray for you if you want to. I was very skeptical. I was like, let me just think about this for a while. And I walked around looking at people, and I could see certain people were just different. They were excited. They could testify. They could speak of Jesus. And I was like, my faith is kind of my own, you know. It's between me and Jesus. I don't want to talk to many people about, I'm shy. And I used to stand behind the excuse of, I'm shy. I'm like introvert. I don't speak to people, you know. And Jesus came, and he started to show me through various people. He said, you need this living water. And I started visiting a shofar small group. I went to the church. It was weird for me. It was like radical worship and lifting hands and all this awesome stuff that we did today and shouting. And I realized I needed something. I needed to receive and to drink from the waters that Jesus probably offered me way back when, but just never knew it. And so I realized I'd come to Jesus, I just didn't drink. And through a process, people led me to a place where I could drink and I could be baptized in water. I was baptized in water and I received the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I asked Jesus to come and baptize me and to fill me with His Spirit and to come and help me to speak in tongues. And I got my prayer language, I got the ability to speak in tongues, which I struggled with for a while. Because I thought Jesus was going to come and take His finger and move my tongue, but He didn't do that. He just filled me with His Spirit and He said, now start to speak. And I got the gift of speaking in tongues, and I got a fire that I've never experienced before. I got living waters flowing through me. And I started to speak to people. I'll never forget. I was running a race up Table Mountain. I was so excited about Jesus. I was having a bad race and wasn't feeling too good. And Jesus said, you climb up this mountain, you tell people about me. And I'm walking up Plattekloof Gorge in a race. Now, you can't run because it's so steep. You walk up there, but I'm like really dead, and I just want to get to the end and finish. And Jesus says, just testify about me, and start to tell these weird tourists walking up and down. They probably thought I was crazy. I'm like, got this race number, and I'm supposed to be focused. And I'm just saying, you know, Jesus loves you. He's got a plan for your life. It's like, guys are like looking at me, probably thinking, I've sworn at them using the name of Jesus. But I just so enjoyed forgetting about myself, forgetting about my pain and my tiredness and all that. And that's the lesson Jesus taught me in life, is to look away from myself and my tough times and just to testify about Him. Whether people respond or not, that's not my problem. My river that He's given me is just to flow out. Amen. In John chapter 7 verse 38, he goes on, he says, once you have received this living water, Jesus said, he believes in you, because that belief is simply the coming and the drinking from Jesus. That's what that belief is. It's when you come, you realize that He is the ultimate source of life. You come to Him, you believe in Him, you receive it, you drink from those waters. Jesus says, out of His heart will flow rivers of living water. Isn't that amazing? We need to recognize our need, friends. We need to recognize our thirst. We need to respond by coming to Him and being obedient and just drinking from His goodness. And then this promise is going to kick in. But this is spoke, John writes, concerning the Spirit. Tell someone next to you, concerning the Spirit. He spoke about this Holy Spirit, the Spirit in capital letters, whom those believing in Him would receive. For guess what? The Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. We are not at the same place as those people right there who were able to receive Jesus. They couldn't receive the fullness quite then. But just a little while later, Jesus died on the cross, and 3 days later he rose again, went up to heaven, and then he sent the Holy Spirit, and most of us who've walked with him know the story. And he promised his Holy Spirit, he promised the power of the risen and glorified Christ himself. Isn't that amazing? The Holy Spirit is the glorified and risen Christ, the one who overcomes all things. And I want to say this morning, this evening, there's good news. He wants to live in you and in me. And maybe he is living in you already. Well, that's awesome news. Maybe he's not. Well, then let him truly dwell inside of you. Let him give you rivers that will never run dry. The other night, 10 days ago, it was a Wednesday night. Anyone was here in Bloom with a downpour? It was a Wednesday evening just before we had small group. Some of our people couldn't even get to our small group because the roads were flooded. So I'm a crazy runner, I am, you know. And so Matthew's my crazy son, so he comes with me. He's riding on his bike, and I'm running, and the water's already like pouring, but then it stops a little bit. I think he has my gap to run, and I run, and then it pours, like downpour of note. And I'm like, I'm running, and Matthew's like, this is crazy, but I'm loving this. And so we're running in the rain, and the furrows along the streets are just running, like all the junk is being, like there's papers and stuff being washed away, and I'm just loving this. Luckily there was no thunder and lightning, but we're crazy, and I think LZ saw us, like, you know, she thinks, who are these people? Luckily she didn't shout to the whole world, this is my pastor and he's not lekker, you know. But I mean, it was just the most amazing experience being flooded with this water, being soaked, but you know, luckily it wasn't cold, so it really wasn't bad for us to run in the rain. It was the most freeing and amazing experience watching these furrows just flood like this. And just after that, a good friend of mine gives me a prophecy, and he says, this year, God is gonna make you like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. Planted by rivers, and whose waters will not fail, whose fruit will not fail. Because there'll be life. And then I realized, why to run in the rain that day? To run to just experience God's promise that he's going to give me and he's going to give all of us life. Amen. Rivers of living water. But when I was looking at this water, rivers flow in two ways. They either flow very peacefully or they flow very powerfully. A river can flow in two ways. Water can either flow peacefully or it can flow powerfully. And that's what I believe God wants to do through His Holy Spirit. Now I'm gonna carry on next week with this, but I just want to leave this with you to make you excited about the river of living water that is inside of you. If you come to Jesus, if you're thirsty for Jesus this year, if you're desperate for Him, guess what? Then be obedient. Come to Him, drink, and guess what will happen? A fountain of living water will spring out of you that will never run dry. And guess what this river is about? First of all, there's two rivers. I call it the river of peace, and secondly, the river of power. So say it to someone next to you, river of peace and river of power. And I know you're not going to forget this, because I just received this revelation from Jesus this week. I never thought about it like this before, but I hope you will remember this. Jesus promised that the rivers will flow, but first of all, there's a river that wants to flow in and out of your life. Both of these two rivers are going to flow in your life and out of your life this year. I believe it. If you want it from Jesus, He's going to give it to you. There's a river of peace. Number one, the Helper. The Comforter comes. He's the same Holy Spirit. But listen to this. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things. And He will bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. And then listen to verse 27. Because we forget this. We read that thing about the Comforter and all of that, the Helper, and lots of other scriptures in John 14. But then He says to the disciples the following. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Anyone troubled at the moment? Anyone afraid? Jesus is saying right now to you, let not your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid. Don't fear, friends. Because there's a comforter, there's a helper, there's the river of peace that wants to flow into your life. Amen. And give you rest this year. He's called the Helper and the Comforter. And I want to say this morning, this evening, He wants to bring you peace, But how does he want to do it? He wants to guide you. The Holy Spirit is the guider. He wants to guide your life. He wants to teach you. He's called the teacher. He wants to lead you into all truth. He wants to give you wisdom. He wants to give you understanding. He wants to give you counsel. Isaiah 11 verse 3 says the sevenfolded Spirit of God, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, is wisdom, understanding, counsel. Those are three of them. One of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is, one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is, the third one, one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is, sorry, the second one, peace. Just say it quickly. One of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is the river of peace wants to flow into your life. That is one or part of the river of living water that Jesus wants to give us. He wants to give us peace. Amen. Anyone here need peace? You don't have to put up your hand, but I know you're going to need peace this year. Maybe some of you need it right now. You have so much unpeace. I believe there's people that you're looking to stuff. I saw a picture when I was praying for the service that you're looking, you're seeing a face and you're trusting in a face, either a person or a situation to provide or to rescue you or to just save you. And Jesus is saying, it's my face. I will save you. Trust in me. So if that's you, come to the giver of life, come to Jesus this evening. He wants to give you peace. But he doesn't just want to have a trickle of peace in your life. He wants to flow. But it's a peaceful river. But it's a flowing river. It's not like bursts of peace every now and again. It's a flow of peace. It's a gentle river. And guess what it's going to do? It's going to flow out of you. Amen. People are going to go to work this week and you're going to just bring peace. You're going to pray, but you're going to walk in there and it's going to be chaos. I believe the Lord showed me someone, you're going to walk into your job tomorrow, you're going to walk into a situation this week, and it's going to be kind. You're going to just have the river of peace. You're going to remember. Alistair said, the river of peace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Flow, river. Flow. And I need it for my kids, you know. As parents, we need the river of peace many times. Well, there's not many parents here this evening, but parents, Steve and Shirley, will know, with older kids. And even Melissa and Tienz with the younger kids, Yoss and Michelle, who else are the parents? Sometimes Yoss and Michelle are like, they've just got a river of peace flowing in their house. There's never shouting, it's a perfect family, okay? So go visit them. But sometimes, like my wife, we need peace with our kids, especially like our third one, he stirs, so you need to just bring peace in. But even Matthew, even Caitlin, all three of them, hey Matthew, they challenge us to have the river of peace. Just make us more holy. Make us more dependent upon the Holy Spirit. And that river of peace will flow out of your life. But I'm saying too much. Wait for next week. Come back next week. The second river is the river of power. Have you ever seen a river rushing, a mighty rushing river? You don't want to jump into that river. You know it's going to consume you. It's pretty powerful. It's pretty scary at times. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, Jesus said the same thing. He says to his disciples, but you shall receive power. Same Jesus talking about his Spirit. You shall receive power. Tell someone next to you, power. Dunamis power, dynamic working power that will fill us, and we will be witnesses in Bloemfontein, in the Free State, in South Africa, and to the ends of the earth. Amen. It's the Bloemfontein translation, the Shofar Bloemfontein version of Acts chapter 1 verse 8. You will be witnesses to be in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the ends of the earth. You will receive power that you've never known before. And I can testify of this power. God took me from being the shy, introverted, totally like didn't want to be with people to someone in the ministry, and I'm still amazed. It's God's power. It's all for His glory. And I need to sometimes ask, I need to say, Jesus, give me that power to be a witness. Give me boldness again, just to tell people the truth, just to love people, just to celebrate life, to have that peace in me and flow out of me, and to have that power flow in me and flow out of me. It's the to do signs and wonders and miracles. Jesus says these things will follow us. It's the power to be bold, to preach, and to testify. Some people, you need to remember your testimony. Write your testimony down of how you got saved, how you got filled with this power. Amen. How you overcame a lot of stuff. Write your testimonies down. Remember them. prepared to testify and to walk in the fear of the Lord. You know, a mighty rushing river is pretty scary, and it talks about the fear of the Lord. But the fear of the Lord doesn't chase us away from Him. It draws us to Him. We're in awe and wonder. It's the power to fight our battles for us. God wants to give us power to actually surrender and say, God, fight our battles. You're a powerful God. You're a powerful Holy Spirit. Fight my battles for me. I can't fight these battles on my own, Lord. I've reached the end of myself, but Jesus, you've given me power. You've given me a river of power. It talks about the gifts of the Spirit, the oral gifts of tongues, speaking in tongues, or interpreting tongues, speaking in tongues, and prophecy. It talks about the revelation gifts, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, interpretation of, discerning of spirits, and then the power gifts, miracles, faith, and healings, different kinds of healings. It's the power gifts. I want to end on this tonight. Before we pray, and just trust the Lord to unlock streams of living waters inside of us here tonight. And this theme of our grow theme this year is very significant. How does a plant grow? Needs to be planted by waters, or at least planted and then watered. There needs to be water. And the Bible is full of scriptures, and we'll get to them maybe next week or whenever, but there's so many scriptures where it talks about being planted by streams of water, not only in the New Testament, in the Old Testament. In fact, many in the Old Testament. You shall be like a tree. Psalm 1. Planted next to the rivers of living water, next to water that brings life. Otherwise, there can be no growth. If there's no water, there can be no growth. Amen. If you want to grow this year, friends, it's important to be planted next to rivers of living waters. Not only to be planted, but actually to have that living water, that fountain of life in you, where you, even in a dry place, physically, around you there seems to be no life. You're in a place where people are swearing, people are ungodly, people are just not... Even in your res, some first years in your res, or some students might, maybe in your res, you're in an ungodly place, in your workplace. There's just not a lot of people around you, but you, inside of you, have a river of living water. You have a fountain that Jesus said, it will not run dry. I want to ask you this evening, do you want to have rivers of living water flow out of your heart? Do you want to?